Hi Ruchi, hi Ashish, thanks for being here with us. And it will be really interesting to hear things about your journey over the last few years. How was your childhood? Where did you study from? What did you do? What was your passion at that time?
I grew up in Cuttack, but I think Cuttack's only claim to fame during my time was that he was 1000 saal purani shehar thi.
So you did your schooling there?
I did a part of my schooling in Kharagpur.
Huh.
My initial days were in Kharagpur because my dad and mom were both doing their PhD from IIT Kharagpur.
Right.
And they were residents doing their PhD. So I spent close to about, I think 5 years in IIT Kharagpur while growing up. Then came back to Cuttack. Was there till 12th. So did a little bit of diddly dabbly here, there. Did a few small businesses here and there, earned a little bit of pocket money, got introduced to the world of business early because my friends were Marwadis and all that. So I was intrigued by, you know, trading, salesmanship and stuff like that. Also was a good orator in the vernacular language, Odia.
Hmm.
So joined trade union very early in life because, you know, had business with them as well. So yeah, that was my growing up.
And Ruchi, where are you from? And
a little bit more quieter as a childhood story, but mostly Delhi. Schooling in Delhi, grew up and as a middle class home, focus was always on academics. So yes, Delhi has been home. That way, school in Delhi, after 12th IIT Delhi. So Delhi has been always home that way.
So then you went to ISB?
So I went to IIT Kharagpur, then after that I went to ITC for about 3 odd years.
Right.
It built on my past experience because in ITC I had a single very large posting, which was that I became the COO, meaning the chief operating officer of a company called Asia Tobacco Company, which was a 100% subsidiary of ITC. The reason I became COO of Asia Tobacco at the ripe old age of 20, I was bordering 22, I think.
Right.
Was because I was from a trade union and that factory had massive trade union issues.
So how big was that business?
Well, when I went in, the turnover for the last 7 years was zero. But when I came out, it used to do a turnover of 2.5 crores a day.
Okay, phenomenal.
So I mean, this is 2004-05.
Yeah,
so
2.5 crores a day means 730 crores, maybe 100 crores.
It was bordering about 900 crores.
Yeah. 900 crores.
That was the capacity of that factory.
That was from 22 years of age to?
To a year and a half later.
Two years later.
It was a manufacturing location. So we used to sell to only one company, which was ITC.
Right.
So we had to manufacture cigarettes in Tamil Nadu, predominantly because there was a massive entry tax for cigarettes coming into Tamil Nadu. So that factory became extremely crucial in ITC's economic landscape and they had to get it started. So we were a bunch of guys who had, you know, similar affiliations before and we were selected to go and start the factory.
This is phenomenal. I mean, at the age of 22,
yeah,
actually running a business of 900 crores, even as a COO, it's phenomenal.
Yeah. So there was a CEO, there was a CFO and there was a CHRO.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a militant trade union to deal with, so face that early in life.
Excellent. How about you?
I worked for a couple of years at EvaluServe, joined ISP because you mentioned ISP. We didn't meet in ISP because he was one batch my senior from.
That is not true at all.
You must have met.
We met in ISP. So I was a part of McKinsey. I went in there. I tried to say
the
hello
recruitment,
to her.
Recruitment perspective. And we were not in the same batch.
I was a year senior to her.
Right.
I went back to recruit. And I said hello to her, didn't get anything in return.
So we met at McKinsey.
You met at McKinsey. Yeah. So you didn't ask for McKinsey?
No, I didn't.
You selected.
She didn't return the hello, right?
So in spite of that, she got into McKinsey. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
So we met at McKinsey. I think first project itself was a similar project, but yes, it took some time, but yes.
Yeah, she lasted in McKinsey for a really long time.
So I was in McKinsey for 9 odd years.
And how about you, Ashish? How long were you in McKinsey for?
4.5 years.
4.5 years.
4.5 years, I was out.
And where did this idea about entrepreneurship came in? I mean, what was after McKinsey? Did you do a job after that or you?
Well, I guess my jobs. Well, I went and did Matrix after that. But frankly, what had happened is things started tapering out in terms of, you know, what we were doing and stuff. The standard joke in McKinsey was that you have dusre ka ghadi dekho usi ko time bata do. Right? Then the joke, by the way, in VC is that you buy him a watch and tell him the time from the watch that he bought for him.
Yeah.
So
entrepreneurship. You wanted to do something different.
We wanted to do something different because there was always a niche. Yeah. Because frankly, doing the same thing over and over again, because VC also is predominantly consulting work, we are appointed. How many investments can you make?
Right.
You still have to expend time and you don't have, you have the responsibility for everything, but you don't have the authority for anything.
Right.
Right? That was VC for you. And a magnified version of that was consulting for you. Kuch karna tha, kuch ho nahi raha tha, you know, life was not that exciting. Some more excitement, that's when we started thinking about what to do next. Fir humne socha ki kuch karte hain.
So that was while you were in McKinsey. And
she was a partner in McKinsey.
She was a partner in McKinsey. And you were,
I was a director at Matrix.
Right.
Fairly senior positions,
yeah.
Well paid, but very frugal, so we didn't know what to do with the money.
Right.
And that helped us in later in life. So yeah, that's how it started, but I'm sure she'll build on it.
Yeah, no, I think even the McKinsey tenure and Matrix for him, it was exciting in a way in terms of learning and at least figuring out what do we like to do, but then how do you want to apply it to building something is something that, that followed later. And at that point, both of us were at this point that we want to do something different. Right. And because we had had such a rich experience professionally, you didn't know that what could be a place which could be better for a job than McKinsey, or what could be a place better than Matrix. Or usse achhi jagah kahan ho sakti hai jahan kuch job kar sako, right? You will not leave it for a job. So
in
it had to be.
In spite of the fact that he said you're just selling the time to the guy who's.
she was different.
She didn't.
So for me, I think I really owe it to McKinsey that I did find passion in terms of financial services, right? So that's something that did appeal at that time. It just was very exciting. But yes, after a point, you're like, okay, there will be a lot of learnings and everything. And you can't just find a great job where you'll apply it. And that's when both of us were like, okay, let's do something. And
so where did this idea come from? I mean, was this your first idea as an off business, or was it like you did a few and saying that aapko failure or fir aapne isko shuru kiya?
So the idea actually germinated from the fact that, you know, I was a VC, right? So I used to see a lot of entrepreneurs because I'd invested in a few, and I always exclaimed that I learned the don'ts of entrepreneurship from the guys I invested in. But yeah, that's where it started. I think then we kind of put our journeys together ki humko aata kya hai, right? So she was from her dad used to run an SME.
Okay.
And she had done SME banking.
Okay.
फिर मैंने देख रहा था कि यू नो अ लॉट ऑफ टैलेंट वाज कमिंग इनटू द एसएमई इकोसिस्टम. कुछ कंपनीज प्रोक्योरमेंट में आ रही थी, कुछ लॉजिस्टिक्स में आ रही थी, कुछ फाइनेंसिंग में आ रही थी. इट वाज लाइक द अनटच्ड वर्ल्ड. नोबडी वांटेड टू डू एसएमईज, राइट? सो वी थॉट देयर इज सम वैल्यू देयर. We all have some exposure there. I had run an SME, Asia Tobacco, to an
operating
of the SME.
Yeah.
You know, when we used to sit in ITC, they used to say, chup, you're SME.
Absolutely.
Right? So, ITC.
Absolutely.
So we said, okay, this is that untouched part of the world. They clearly would do three problems. Yeah. We want to do something different. We kind of enjoyed working with each other during that 1 year phase when we worked with each other back at McKinsey. Let's join hands and start. So that's how it started.
Yeah, but
it was a while to leave what we were doing.
Yeah, it must have been very difficult, right?
More than difficult, it was too long.
Yeah.
Because I was who I was, right? So I was very operational with the companies that I had invested in. I had practically an operating role in each of them. And I had to hand it back to the company when I was leaving.
Right.
And so it took me a while for her also to say it.
So I think sometimes just thinking that it's very difficult makes it even more difficult. It was a time that a lot of things changed in our life. Like we were staying in Mumbai, we shifted back to Delhi. We were having a baby.
Right.
So like 8-9 months into that space.
So baby is just 8 days older than the business.
Yeah. So I mean, having a baby, shifting cities and shifting 8 years. So everything changed at that juncture. And when you have everything changing around you, you just suddenly, you're so lost in it that you don't realize that how difficult it is, right? So there were a lot of people who came up and said that, okay, are you sure both of you want to jump into it together? And there are these, you know, mediums that, do you want to put all eggs in one basket and all those things. Right. And after a point, to what Ashish was also saying, that we had, you know, we've been very grounded as people in terms of frugality or the way we have led our life. And there's a very huge role of our individual upbringings towards it, right? And at that point, it was not about saying it's money. That was not there. It was not about saying that what if it does not work out. It's just that And you know, if you have
about trying something different. But then how did you become passionate? If you always have a backup, sometimes you don't become passionate about what you want to do.
So how
did you get the passion to build this up?
So I think what happened is, so while we had a great, great experience in both our vocations, whether it was consulting or investing and stuff like that, by the time we left, we were extremely bored. Okay, I think the last 3 to 6 months,
right,
because we were into something else, we realized that they were so diametrically opposite that the whole passion was that there should be no chance that we go back to what we were doing.
Right.
So that was the driving force. One, that. Second is, I think that in the initial days also what happened is we got a good set of people together as co-founders, as founding team members and all that, and we fed off each other's energy.
Right.
We wanted to hang out with each other.
So how many co-founders do you have?
Five. But more importantly, there was an extended team which has pretty much lasted till this date.
Really? It's been there for 8 years?
No, in fact, I'll tell you
seven
what.
7 to 8 years.
7 to 8 years easily. I remember doing a strategy session last week, and there were like 22 people around the table. The average age was 6.5 years.
Well, amazing.
In the company, yeah.
Amazing.
And both companies put
it. It's like 22 people, 6.5 years.
22 people with the top management
team. Top management team, but actually having stability in the top management team from almost the time you started is really, really phenomenal.
So, great friends, you know, you feed off each other's energy. We realized that what we were doing was so fundamentally different from what had existed as a substitute that, you know, the whole problem statement itself was very energizing.
Right. So this, I mean, just in simple terms, what is the business model and how does it work?
Maybe so we have a commerce business and a financing business. So I'll tell you what the commerce business, which you can tell you what the financing business. Commerce business is fairly simple. So there are SMEs.
Hmm.
SMEs typically, before we come in, buy raw material, which is like steel, polymer, chemicals, whatever you can think of, bulky, large raw materials that get used for manufacturing and infrastructure. Those are typically bought from traders because SMEs don't have the buying power and they also don't have the ability to pay on non-credit terms. Right. So they buy from traders. What we do is that we are a very large trader.
Right.
We essentially take it from the source, eliminate all the middlemen in between and give it directly to the SME.
Right.
At the exact credit terms that he needs, at better price points than what he has, at better, you know, trust elements like giving him on time, giving the right quality and stuff.
Right.
So just take out all the middlemen, take it from the source and give it to the SME. That's what we do fundamentally. And over a period of time, we've kind of evolved that model and we do a few other things as well.
You do manufacturing as well.
We make a few of the things that they need.
Yeah.
Right.
And how do you define your SMEs? So only SMEs can buy from you or anybody can buy?
Anybody can buy. But fundamentally, our value prop works for a person, for a business which is closer to, I would say, in the 20 to 200 crore bracket. More around the 100 crore would be a sweet spot for us, because then the value proposition is like really, really strong, right?
So the ideation of this was purely based on what you had experienced, and or is it like also solving the problem of the overall country that you have for SMEs? But this is our 12 months ago, so career.
One thing got added to the other. When we started, it was very simple. Yeah. We saw three mega trends happening. So the first big trend was that nothing had been built for B2B.
Right.
Everybody was running around B2C. So look at the consumer internet. Ola gaya tha, Flipkart bada ho gaya tha. Nothing had been built for B2B. So we saw a white space there. So that's one. The second thing that we knew, particularly from Ruchi's experience on financial services, that everybody hates giving credit, particularly working capital to SMEs.
Right.
So there are diversion issues and stuff like that, a whole host of issues. So we knew that SMEs are at the raw end of the chain, whether it was commerce or financial services. The third thing that we saw is that a lot of good quality talent and investment was flowing into the world of B2B and SMEs. So we said, okay, give exposure, let's start.
So very rightly captured. We saw that trend happening, and one thing led to the other. We actually mapped out everything from saying raw materials to long tail items to everything, and we realized that because we'd spent so many years actually analyzing businesses, we said that where does the real economics sit?
Right.
And there we said that, okay, can we build something in the long tail and make it profitable? Can we build something on the raw material size? And we realized that we had to break even at each transaction level that has to be done. Right? And hence that very clearly laying out which raw materials are we going to do, what kind of ticket size of the transaction needs to, and those basic principles have stayed from then to now in terms of what kind of raw material chains, what kind of supply chains we will address to, how will we use equity and debt as a mix in terms of the capital structure. So financing we started after a year and a half, and that also was borrowed from our experience in the B2B ecosystem. When we saw that, in fact, 95% plus of business actually happens on credit, we realized that it's not just facilitating or identifying or discovering fulfillment or procurement, it is also saying how do you finance it, and that itself was a standalone need. And that's when we realized that there was no such product available, especially in the banks or NBFC ecosystem itself. We said that why not actually do it. And the good thing was that we never thought of financing as a captive ki sirf ohi customer ko finance karna hai jo platform se le raha. So we said financing is a standalone need, and hence there is both the pies that we will capture. One is in terms of the entire commerce and one and financing that. And then there will be some overlap in between, and that's how both businesses grew in itself.
So idea kis ka hai aapka tha kin tar.
Actually, Prashant, important thing is also, it's like when the full team comes together, right? Like everyone is sitting, he'll say, ki, okay, SaaS products is important for SME. Then someone else is sitting, okay, MRO dekhna hai ki nahi dekhna. So most of our business actually evolved in that first year of operations. And I think they're like, Nitin is there, he's seen something on the infra construction side.
He wanted to start on the construction, whereas initially our hypothesis was we'll start on manufacturing for salary. Initially, we thought that we'll do steel plus what is called MRO, which is like small long tail consumables. But soon, one of us realized that if we do steel, we'll capture it first. So I think it was a combination. People pretty much contributed and built on top of each other.
Yeah. So what is actually different? What have you done in this organization?
So in the beginning, we created some 7 commandments. Which we have followed till date, and that would be very different for us versus others. And it's the ability to actually both think of those commandments
and follow that
religiously. One of which is what you heard today, that cash controls are fully with us.
Right.
So even to this date, just to give you a sense of magnitude, we do payments of close to about 3,000 crores a month. Which is close to, if you take 22 to 23 working days, that's about roughly
150
crores a day, right? It's done between 3 people. They press the final button on payment. So very tight on cash controls, right?
So these commandments are your commandments, as in the founder group and the senior management, or is it like
top 20, 30 people?
Top 20, 30
people.
See, all. Involved in the sense that we've ensured that we can implement it well.
Yeah.
The execution has evolved around it. But the fundamental tenets of saying that, okay, we'll stick to these is something that we've stuck.
Would you like to share those with us?
Yeah. So the one was cash. It was a later commandment, but given that you got exposed to it, I mentioned it as well. So the first big commandment was what Ruchi was saying, which was, we will not lose money in a single transaction.
Okay.
So even in our first transaction,
margin is to be
positive margin on every single transaction.
So Ashish, you were talking about the 7 commandments. So aap batayenge, what were those 7 commandments?
Okay, I'll give
and you talked about cash already.
So I talked about cash. Second, we don't want to lose money in a single transaction. Lose money in a single transaction. So every transaction is gross margin positive. The third thing is that we will grow through young talent. So our initial talent pool was largely, in fact, at one point in time, we were 70% for freshers or 0 to 3 years experience.
Really? Right.
We've now evolved over a period of time, but at least that commandment we stuck to for at least 5 to 6 years of our journey.
So what is your average
median age?
Now it's grown significantly.
It's grown. I think it's still around 25.
25,
that's pretty young. So there are a lot of people who are like really young, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I used to always joke that till when I was 40, I was the third oldest person in the company. So it's a pretty young culture per se. The fourth was that we will not spend a marketing dollar. We will rather use sales. So we built our own marketing engine through which we actually earn money. We said we will not raise a lot of equity, particularly in the initial days. We will grow through debt.
Right.
So the marketing commandment was actually a little different. So I used to be a VC, and there used to be this fundamental thing called customer acquisition cost.
Yeah.
So the commandment was that we will make customer acquisition cost negative.
Right.
So one of the things that we...
So which would be what? Contribute. The customer would contribute?
So the customer comes to me for a service.
Right.
Because of which he pays me money. Right. But once he comes to me for the service, I actually acquire him as a lead. That's what we do in our business when we have to acquire SMEs, right?
Right.
We'll go through debt. Did I miss one?
And I think one of...
Cash?
Debt?
Margin?
Cash? Margin? Freshers?
Talent, yeah.
Customer acquisition cost.
I think there are a couple of important things that we also laid out in addition was the fact that tech itself would be an enabler of the business, right? So it's not that, and we will build only things that we'll use.
So, not waste technology.
So that's something that Bhuvan and team has done exceedingly well in terms of saying that what does the business need? Let us make that what the business needs. So that that sync between business and tech is very, very strong rather than two separate engines which are running. And I think the last one, which we always take a lot of pride in, is saying that when we set up the lending business and even for commerce business, there are some very critical functions which new age companies feel that they can initially outsource.
Right.
So the collections engine is completely in-house, which is actually led top-down. Legal function is in-house. We actually do.
So you do everything in-house?
No outsourcing.
We will use partners like yourself in the journey, but in terms of real execution on the ground and operations, it's all in-house. Like collections folds up under Ashish. He just has to drive it that way. So just to add to the points that Ashish made, the couple of other points were that we ensured that the tech that we were building, and this is like a phenomenal job that Bhuvan and his team have done, is the fact that there's very much in sync with what is needed in the business.
Right.
It's not that there is a great tech which is being created which is not being used, and I think 90%, 90-95% of whatever has been created, we've ended up using it. So that actually pulled in a lot of efficiencies for us. And lastly, there are a lot of functions that a lot of our peers or the new age ecosystem have actually ended up outsourcing initially. And from the start, we were very clear that collections has to be in-house, underwriting has to be a very strong engine, legal has to be in-house. Though we were over time started to leverage some partners, but the core functions and operations actually are something that we built in-house.
Yeah. Yeah. As she was speaking about it, I remembered an aid, which kind of something was pretty core to us. It was on the fact that we'll be very hands-on.
Yeah.
So no assistants, no drivers. No rooms for each other.
Right.
Pretty much
open up.
Liberty, equality, fraternity in every way. I remember a joke from our early days. One of my initial ideas was that we should all come in uniforms as well. Like massive pushback from everyone. Factory guy, right? Uh-huh. So let's all come. I in fact had a color in mind as well.
don't tell me it was yellow or green.
Green and blue. Green. Which is our
green is the new black.
Green is the new black.
Green is the new black. Yeah, but just coming back, yeah, your assistant thing is absolutely valid because when we tried to reach you so many times and asked you for your assistant, you said, I'm my own assistant, right? So, which is phenomenal, I think. But the talent, right? And how many people do you have right now? How many?
Accepting workers in the factory is about 1,600.
1,600 people. How do you keep them motivated? How do you keep them driven?
Fundamental tenet is lead by example.
Yeah.
So, if you are energetic, the guy below you will be energetic. Huh. If you are putting everything for the company as your first tenant, he'll do the same. So lead by example.
Right. So Ruchi, women entrepreneur first, very few of them are there in the country now. Yes. Now that population is growing. Aapko, and I know Ashish was with you and the other four founders were with you, but what is your advice to the women entrepreneurs?
So I think first thing first is when you say woman entrepreneur, people should not use the word women in a way that it is constraining in any way, right?
Right.
Sometimes what happens is when we make a deal about saying woman entrepreneur, it just seems the word itself or the phrase itself says, oh, it is going to be such a hard journey, right? So I think that half of it is on a mindset that do you think being a woman is actually a deterrent for you? Or do you think you take it in your stride saying that actually there are a lot of skills that each gender actually comes with, right? And maybe I've had the privilege of, you know, school keh lije, college keh lije, IIT maybe, that even though the number of women have been less in the growing up phase, it's never been a way of thinking that it's some kind of a deterrent.
Huh.
But in terms of an advice still, it will be the fact that for any person to be successful, whether it's a man or a woman, it's very important to have a very conducive ecosystem, right? right? And you are equally responsible for building that conducive ecosystem, saying who is the person I can rely on, right? Like your family, who actually supports you. Or for that matter, how do you actually create an ecosystem who can actually take care of maybe the kid or the house, etc. So I think it's equal responsibility of a man or a woman to say that, how do I build a conducive ecosystem? And second is, whenever you have a support, like for me, you said, yes, Ashish, other co-founders were very helpful.
Right.
In the sense, when we just had a kid, they were okay to come home to actually work together. Right? My parents around, support from Ashish, his parents, and everybody has been supportive, right? And when you have that, you should just hold on to it. And you should just count your blessings.
Yeah.
Than saying that, oh, shit, I'm a woman. Is it, oh, this investor is saying no because they saw that I'm 8 months pregnant. I can count and I can and think about it, but that's only a negative, right? But if you think, oh, there was this person who actually has been supportive and all that.
So one is a mindset change for the women themselves, right?
Yeah.
So that and don't...
You are an entrepreneur.
You are an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
Not gender woman is not... entrepreneur. You never say a man entrepreneur.
You never say that.
Do you say that?
You never say that. You never say that. Right? So,
and that's about it.
Yeah.
When Ruchi makes statements like this, I always say 1-0.
I thought you were like 5 sets already done, right? At one go. Why 1-0? You want to play the next side and win
so that. So you at least feel that you have a chance to wear it back. If I say 5-0, you may give up.
Ashish, how is Ruchi at work?
Ruchi is brilliant. Now, you're going to be a very different version. So, yeah. She is more than brilliant at work. In fact, she is so much more brilliant that I actually...
you can't find words beyond brilliant.
No, no, I will tell you.
Yeah.
When I introduce her, I do not say that she is my better half. I say she is my way better half in both professional and personal life.
Right.
So, but
what do you think about Ashish? What's the area that he needs to improve on?
So, I'm a person who will count more the blessings. So, yeah. I'll first answer your first question. I'll answer the first one in terms of, I think when you're running a huge organization or you're setting it up, I think his biggest, you could say, boon to the company is that he can think big.
Right.
So, if you have to, you know, take a giant leap, first you have to think about a giant leap, and you don't think about constraint, you hope I got in your pile. It's like, okay, next. He says, on to next. What is the next big thing and how are we going to get to it? Yes. So one is thinking big. And second is to actually break it down into execution. Right? So many a times I've met people who can say, you know, paint a grand vision. But how do you break it and how do you actually split it again in 20 people? And suddenly, it's like, I'll hear him say that, okay, we should do this. And I'm like, Ashim, zyada to nahi bol raha. And next day, I know there are 20 people sitting in the room. And everybody's like, you do this, how can... And everybody's like suddenly energized. So that ability to take people along, irrespective, not everybody is at the same level, right? Everybody has their own strength. You have the strength, you do this. You have the strength, you do this. So actually converting that vision into execution, I think, is something which is phenomenal. And yeah, so that's something I think is great at work. And just as an individual persona, I think, or a professional, one is just saying as an entrepreneur, these are the two skills that I actually really admire. And as a professional, I think he's very disciplined.
Yeah,
it's very disciplined. I think very rarely that you see people that who've achieved something in life, but who still work so hard. At 5 a.m. in the morning, he will work till late in the night if required. He wake up, he'll track everything. So that discipline, I think, is something I have to learn from.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So effectively, I mean, a lot of the entrepreneurs and some of them, and with the success that you guys have had, right? It's not, how do you keep yourself still on ground zero?
Oh, I just told you, no assistant, no driver, no room.
No, that's fine, but how do you practice? See, obviously you do that, but I'm just saying, how do you still keep yourself, because with the kind of success that you've had.
Yeah, see, first of all, I mean, don't call it a success. I think the very fact we have a belief in ourselves that once you are grounded is when you will get the maximum amount of information and you'll also garner the most amount of respect. As long as you have that belief,
right,
you will always find ways to execute on the same. So I still truly believe that, you know, my best travel journeys are when they are done in a metro, because I can build new friends.
Yeah.
Right.
So you still use the metro sometimes?
Yeah, sometimes. Quite a
phenomenal.
Quite a lot of times.
How do you keep yourself grounded? I mean,
I think there is a lot said about the success. And whenever something is said about the success, we individually feel that it's the success of our business, right? Rather than an individual success. And because we've, at least what I've heard, it's not just the two of us, but the entire top team, it is more about saying that we are just representatives of that business. And to us, the only way to be honest to that business is that, okay, I am playing one role in that business, he's playing that one role in that business, and collectively we're playing that role. That it is never an Ashish Mohapatra ka success or Ruchi ka Randa or Govar Gupta. It is off business. Right? And we are just working for off business. So if you are just working for off business, then how has things changed? I mean, we've been consultants then, and I think that's the biggest transition for me from consulting as a life to an entrepreneur as a life. Consulting was more about saying that, how am I doing? What is my rating? How do people think about me, etc. So it's so inward looking. But as an entrepreneur, it's like, how are your people doing, or how is the company doing? And honestly, Prashant, when you look at people around you, I think, to what Ashish also said, you just get so much energy from them.
Right.
And if they are your source of energy, then you are in a way grateful to them. And till the point you're grateful to them, because it's a collective build, whatever is of business is that collective. It's, we both are sitting here,
absolutely,
but we just representing
offices. Yeah,
60 people cannot be in this room.
Absolutely.
Till that's the feeling, I think we will stay in ground.
You treat people like your family.
It is your family. It is our second child.
It is
everything.
Yeah, yeah.
So hence, we are known for off business. Until off business ka naam rahega, hamara naam rahega. To iske liye to fir grounded hi rahenge.
Any tips to people who are looking at entrepreneurship? Anything that 1, 2, 3 things that you think that they should do?
My tip has always been the same. Whether it be an entrepreneur or academician or professional or any vocation for that matter, it is to build on your strengths, is to be yourself.
Yeah.
But you will make it big only if you're yourself and you build on your strengths. So
follow
be yourself.
So you guys watch movies, right? So what is Ruchi's favorite movie? What is her favorite movie?
Her favorite genre of movies are something which I have still not kind of got
discovered.
I've discovered, but haven't built an appreciation for. That's animation. She likes any kind of animation. So,
how about Ashish? What does Ashish like to watch?
He loves to watch anything which is of historical significance.
And sports. Things.
Yeah. So anything which is sports biographies, etc., actually work very well for him. But anything which has like this Roman feel to it.
Yeah, I love it when they talk in that language, right? Just this high-pitched, really loud style.
Yeah.
Anything which is historic in nature, because he loves reading. He's very well-read. So, from anything to do with that 100 BC.
Yeah.
Ashish, you cook?
No, I love eating.
You love eating?
Yeah.
You cook for him?
She loves, she hates eating.
She hates eating. So you watch MasterChef to decide what you want to eat?
No, so I like reality shows of any kind. Wherever there's a competition, so
right.
I'm very competitive in nature, right? Any reality show.
And what sport is your best sport? What sport do you follow? Is it?
I follow a lot of sports.
Yeah.
I follow cricket, I follow tennis, golf, international football, club football I hate. At some point in time, there used to be many more. I follow squash quite a bit. Table tennis on the surface.
What is your favorite one-liner?
Ye mat kar. She's very good at it.
And what is his one-liner? Favorite one-liner?
Hope is a good thing. In fact, one of the best things, because no good thing ever dies.
So, do you guys carry work home?
Always.
Always? So, yes. You work?
Not just, we don't only carry home, on our way home also we carry
discuss.
Work. You carry work, you discuss.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's no like me time, there's no free time, there's no...
No. You see, when,
so
you're
like,
when you enjoy work...
workaholics?
For both of us, yes.
For both of you, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because frankly, we enjoy doing what we do, right?
Right.
Yeah, that's important.
And frankly, also, there are so many people around us who also enjoy what they do. So we feed off each other's energy.
Yeah. So what's the next big unicorn idea? Now that you guys are... Two unicorns, you produced two unicorns over the last 8 years.
8 years, yeah.
So what's the next big unicorn idea?
Coming from us or coming from somewhere else?
Whatever way, what is in the production system Are we going to see more unicorns, or how do
from
you
us?
See, yeah, from you guys, yeah.
Yeah, a few more.
Right.
So, I truly believe that the next few years of India are going to be about India's manufacturing.
Right.
I think we've grown a lot through services, and this manufacturing will be both for domestic consumption and for global exports. A few new age manufacturing led ecosystems will be built out of here. So you will see us also building something around the same. We've taken some baby steps around it, but I think we will.
Electronic manufacturing.
Electronics is more a sector.
Right.
It could also be a horizontal, something
right.
to do with manufacturing in general. But I would say both in terms of verticals in manufacturing as well as horizontals that would straddle across.
Right.
We would attempt both.
You would attempt both. So we would see many more things coming from your. And what's ready?
Because our fundamental 101 of building businesses will not change, which is one, to put a great team together, and just feed off each other's energy with that tenet. Second is to build it frugally, and third is to make sure that you do it with a very commercial mindset. Once you put these three things together, I think a business is built.
Right. So are you working on something already?
Working on something. I think we believe that manufacturing will be India's next bigger story, and it's also a very natural extension from what we do today in both commerce and finance.
Right. Yeah, so great. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
And Ashish, thank you for being with us. This is the Powell couple in India right now, or in Bharat right now, let me put it this way. And we see that the unicorns become decacorns, and you generate many more unicorns and create decacorns.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.